John chapter 3 and the 16th verse. Keep in mind when you read this chapter that it was Nicodemus, that self-righteous Pharisee, that first heard these lovely words from the lips of the Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a little chorus that we sing with the children in the children's meetings. I remember singing it as a child myself. We still sing it in the children's meetings here. It's that little chorus with the words, "You can't get to heaven without salvation." The children sing, shout out the word, and they spell the word out letter by letter. There's many, I'm sure, in this meeting familiar with those words. You remember days when you sung them yourself as a child, perhaps even at meetings here in this house. And I want you to think of those important words tonight, men and women. You can't get to heaven without salvation. That's the great truth that we want to emphasize in the meeting this evening. That's the great truth that we want to impress upon the hearts of every person gathered here with us tonight. I want you to think of John 3:16. This is one of the greatest and one of the clearest statements of salvation that you will find anywhere in the Word of God. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, he called this text the gospel in miniature. This verse, men and women, John 3:16, it's a summary of the whole gospel message. And in essence, we could say, in fact, it is a summary of the whole message of the Bible itself. And I want us to consider, just for a few minutes, something of what it teaches us about the great subject of God's salvation. Will you notice, first of all, the sacrifice for God's salvation? The text says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Today, on this day, Remembrance Sunday, we take time to remember the sacrifices that have been made in this community of ours. Some have been severely injured. They've lost limbs, lost parts of their body. Others have lost their lives. Others were taken from us. We've thought a little of those tonight. Those that made the supreme sacrifice, they laid down their life for their friends. And men and women, we want them and their sacrifice never to be forgotten. And that's the reason why we hold a remembrance service such as this. And as we think of their sacrifice, the giving of their lives, the shedding of their blood, I urge you in this gospel meeting to lift your thoughts and to lift your mind a little higher, to lift your thoughts and your minds to Calvary itself, and to think of what God gave, and to think, men and women, of the price that the Lord paid for our salvation. There was in America many years ago a very famous lawyer, Samuel Untermeyer. His wife was traveling through Europe. She came across one of the great Gobelin tapestries. She wanted to buy that tapestry and bring it home with her. It cost $25,000. She was uncertain what to do. She sent a telegram home to her husband, seeking his advice. And he didn't want her to purchase the tapestry. He thought the cost was too high. So he sent a simple telegram to her, "No price too high." But whenever she returned from Europe, she had the Gobelin tapestry with her. He was surprised because of the message that he had sent. But it was all down to the punctuation. He had left out the comma after the word "no," and it just read one sentence, "No price too high." It gave her the impression as if it didn't matter how much she spent. Wouldn't you ladies like that when you go to town to do your shopping? "No price too high." So she returned home with the Gobelin tapestry. And men and women, as we consider tonight the sacrifice of Christ, the sacrifice of God's dear Son on the cross, I want you to understand that there was no price too high for God to pay for our salvation. His sacrifice was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. We talk of those that give their life for their country. They give this, or they make the supreme sacrifice. Well, his was the supremest sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice of all. Sometimes when we use that word greatest, we're prone to exaggeration. But in this case, that is not so. This was the greatest sacrifice that ever was made. I want you to understand, men and women, to be in no doubt tonight, God could not have given any more than what he gave that day at Calvary. You know, there are things that may seem strange to us, but there are things that God cannot do. And God cannot give any more than what he gave when he gave his son to be our Savior. Sometimes you hear it said, if God is a God of love, people sneer, they undermine the message of the Bible. If God is a God of love, people are always questioning the love of God for sinners. But men and women, don't be mistaken. I want you to know and to understand tonight that he is a God of love. You look at the cross. You look tonight at Calvary. You see what God did there. See what God gave at Calvary. And you will see the greatest demonstration of love that this world of ours has ever known. What I want to do in this gospel meeting is to point you away from the church with all its rites and its rituals. I want to point you away from yourself with all your works and with all your own efforts. And what I want to do is to point you to Christ and to his death on Calvary's cross. Because remember, men and women, it is in that death alone. It is in the merit of his death. It is in the value of his precious blood alone that you can have God's salvation. If you think of this verse that's before us tonight, 25 words within it, you know the little chorus, 25 words in John 3:16. No greater verse has ever been seen. 12 about God and 12 about me, Son in the center. Verse 16, John 3. The middle word of the verse is the word Son. And what a lesson there is there, men and women. That teaches us that at the very center, at the very heart of God's plan of salvation is the Son, the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, apart from Christ, there is no salvation. And men and women, we want to say to you tonight, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We want you to look to Christ and to look to him alone for your salvation. Whenever we lived in South Wales, the little Sunday school we had, we were teaching the boys and girls this verse. Week by week, we taught them a little more. Some of the children would recite the verse for us. And one little lad, one day when he was quoting the verse, he misquoted it. And he said, God's only forgotten son. And yet how true that is. There's a very important lesson and truth there too, men and women. In this land of ours tonight, Jesus Christ is God's only forgotten son. Men and women forget his day, and they forget his word. And perhaps that is true of you. He's forgotten in your life as well. You have no time for Christ. You have no thought for the Son of God. No thought for the shedding of his blood and the great sacrifice that he made when he died for your sins upon the cross. God's only forgotten Son. You have room for business and you have room for pleasure. But for Christ, the crucified, there's not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. Isn't Christmas time approaching? And you know that part of that Christmas story, the details of the birth of Christ, there was no room. No room for them in the inn. Is that true of you tonight, my friend? When you think of what Christ has done, the price that he paid, the blood that he shed, there's no room. No room in your life. And there's no room in your heart for the Son of God. There, men and women, is the sacrifice for God's salvation. You think in the second place about the scope of God's salvation. It says that whosoever believeth in him. Here's the scope. Here's the extent of God's salvation. You ask tonight, who is it for? Who can have this salvation? The answer is the whosoever. You know, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, they built the tabernacle. And the gate into that tabernacle was 30 feet wide. The farmers will know that's a good size of a gate. And the idea, men and women, the lesson is, it's wide enough to let everybody in. It didn't matter who came. It didn't matter what family came. It didn't matter how big the family connection. The gate was wide enough to let everybody in. And I want to tell you something important tonight, men and women. This invitation of the gospel, it's wide enough to let you in as well. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your nationality or your ethnic origin is. It doesn't matter what religion you practice or what sins you're guilty of. God's salvation can take you in. It's for the whosoever. You know, the only person that is excluded is the person that excludes themselves. Because God includes you. He says it's for the whosoever. This invitation was wide enough to take in Nicodemus, the man that this chapter speaks about. He was religious, moral, self-righteous. He was a Pharisee, a leader of religion in his land. Wide enough to take him in. It was wide enough to take in the woman of Samaria, the woman we read of in the next chapter. What a contrast in her life. She was sinful. She was an adulteress. She was a notorious sinner in her community. The two extremes, men and women, the moral and the immoral. And yet it was wide enough to embrace them both and everyone else in between as well. And I want to tell you, it'll take you in, whoever you are, if you'll only turn from your sins tonight. Salvation, God says, is for the whosoever will. Wasn't it Richard Baxter, the great Puritan writer and preacher, that said of this word that he thanked the Lord that he had said whosoever? Because if the Lord had said there was mercy for Richard Baxter, he said, I know that I'm such a vile wretch that the Lord must have been thinking of or speaking about some other Richard Baxter. But when he said whosoever, I know that he includes me, the worst of all, the most sinful of all Richard Baxters. The invitation includes you, my friend, whoever you are tonight. Even if you're the worst of all sinners in Armagh, even if you're the chief of sinners, this salvation is for you. And I pray that that truth will encourage you to come to Christ. Can I warn you, men and women? It says, whosoever. Not whensoever. You can't get saved when you want. You can't come to Christ when you like. You can only get saved when the Spirit is speaking. You can only come to Christ when the door of opportunity is still open to you. Don't say some more convenient time. Don't say that tonight, my friend. Remember, there is a day of salvation. And that day is not every day. Do you remember what the scriptures tell us? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see the word now repeated twice, the message emphasized, brought home with power to our hearts. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Remember, men and women, that today is salvation's day. Tomorrow is damnation's day. If you hesitate, if you put it off, tomorrow you could be damned. You could be lost for all eternity. There was a noted evangelist, Joseph Kemp. When he was just a lad in his teens, he was speaking one day to a Christian sailor. The sailor was witnessing to him, urging him to come to Christ. And he asked young Joseph Kemp this question: when are you going to be converted? Can I ask you that question tonight, unconverted person, unsaved person in the meeting? When? After all this time, all these years, all the opportunities, all the warnings that God has given to you, when are you going to be converted? Do you know what young Joseph Kemp said? I think I'll do it now. And he got up and he walked across the room and he took that old sailor by the hand. And just there and then, he took Christ as a Savior. Will you do the same, my friend? When are you going to be converted? Will you respond and say, I think I'll do it now. I'll come to Christ in this very meeting. The scope of God's salvation. Notice in the third place the simplicity of God's salvation. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That, men and women, is just how simple God's salvation is. Just believe and receive. Just trust Christ and you'll be saved for all eternity. And it's our prayer, we plead with you to come and do that just now in this meeting. Isn't it true? We're often told there are many religions in this world of ours. Do you know the reality, men and women? The reality is there's just two religions in this world of ours. And I want you to see that. I'd like you to understand that in the meeting tonight. And those two religions are not the Protestant and the Catholic. They're not the Muslim and the Hindus. The two religions are these. One is the religion of works. That religion says, you must work your way to heaven. Do you remember the rich young ruler came to Christ? He said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Maybe that's what you think tonight. There's something you have to do, something hard, something difficult. You must walk up Croke Patrick barefooted. You must pay vast sums of money into the church. You must make a pilgrimage to the very end of the earth. You see, that religion teaches salvation is by doing. Salvation is by working. But can I tell you, men and women, it's a false religion. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Solomon says there's a way that seems right unto a man. And that's what you think tonight. The religion of works. It seems right. It looks as if it's the right road, the right path to heaven. But the end thereof, do you know where it'll bring you? The end thereof are the ways of death. It'll bring you to a lost eternity. The other religion, men and women in this world, is the religion of the Bible. The religion of faith. It teaches that you're saved by faith alone, by putting your trust in Jesus Christ, by putting your trust in his work, the work that he did, the work that he finished when he died on Calvary's cross. I want you to understand something, men and women. He did it all. The work is complete. That's what those words mean when he cried from the cross, it's finished. All the work that was required, all the sacrifice that was necessary, he had done the work and he had made the sacrifice. It's whosoever believeth in him should not perish. There was a young man came one night after a meeting such as this to the preacher. He was in great distress of soul. And he said to the minister, what must I do to find peace? The minister says, you're too late. That maybe for a moment added to the distress of the young fella. He says, you mean to tell me I'm too late to be saved? Oh no, he says, you're too late to do anything to find peace. It's all been done. And that's the message, men and women. I started with a little chorus for the children. There's another little one that says, done, done, D-O-N-E. Done perfectly. Finished, Christ cried, when on Calvary he died. Because it's done. Will you think of Paul's words? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what you need to do tonight. That's all that's required of you men and women. That's the simplicity of God's salvation. Put your trust in Christ and the work that he has finished on the accursed tree. One other thing I want you to see, that's the security of God's salvation. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it true we know and we hear a lot about security in this land of ours, and yet at times we don't feel very secure at all? Well, here, men and women, is real security. Here's the security of God's salvation. The fact is, in Christ, you'll never perish. You'll never be lost. But remember, out of Christ, if you die without him, you will perish. And you will be lost forever and forever. Think of Noah's Ark. What a picture, what an illustration it is of that truth. What a warning it brings. All that were in the ark were safe. All that were in the ark were saved from judgment to come. Every person out of the ark was lost, and they perished. And so it is, men and women, with God's salvation. You want to be safe. You want to be secure for all eternity. You need to be in Christ. You need to have him as your Savior. Remember, this is immediate security. You can have it right now. You don't have to wait until you die. It says, if we have the Son, we have life. You can have this security right now in this meeting. And it's eternal security. We're not afraid to say it. We're not afraid to declare it. This is a salvation, men and women, that will last forever. What the Lord wants to give you tonight is everlasting life. He wants to give you something that will never end. Can I tell you? Can I tell you, men and women, without doubt, there's no such thing as saved today and lost tomorrow. Once you're saved, you're as sure of heaven as if you were already there. And if you want security tonight, in this troubled world in which we live, do you know all you have to do, my friend, is come to Christ and take him as your Savior. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You'll never be lost. You'll never be in hell. But you'll have everlasting life. Can I tell you this tonight as a finish? A few weeks ago, down in Belfast, they commemorated the 100th anniversary of the signing of the Ulster Covenant. The first man to sign that covenant in a silver pen in Belfast City Hall was the leader of unionism at that time, Sir Edward Carson. Edward Carson was brought up in the city of Dublin by a godly mother. She put great emphasis on the Bible. She taught Carson the scriptures as a lad. He excelled when he studied at university in Dublin. But there's something that's not so widely known, and that is that his life at that time wasn't just marked by his academic studies, but also by his testimony for Christ. On Sunday evenings, think of it, a Sunday evening just like this, Edward Carson would be found on the street corners in Dublin, conducting open-air meetings, preaching the glorious tidings of the gospel. Edward Carson died in 1935, the only person ever to be laid to rest in St. Anne's Cathedral in Belfast. They took a silver bowl, and in that silver bowl was soil from the six counties of Northern Ireland, and they poured that soil upon his coffin before they buried him. Let me tell you about his closing days. One of those that came to visit Edward Carson at the end of his life was Sir Charles Darcy. Sir Charles was the primate of Armagh, the leader of the Church of Ireland, at that particular time, they were talking together and they spoke about the things of God. And Carson said to Dr. Darcy, he said that I've seen much in my life to shake my faith, and all that remains now, remember he's at the end of his days, he's facing eternity. He says all that remains now is what I learnt upon my mother's knee. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Quoted that verse. Dr. Darcy replied to Sir Edward, and he said, it is enough. And how true that is, men and women. Can I tell you tonight, when you come to die, when you come to the end of life's journey, when you come to the river of Jordan, the river of death, when you come to that day, to that time when you'll pass from this world to the next, if you're simply trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, then that will be enough, my friend. That will be enough to save your soul. And that will be enough to get you into heaven. We want to urge you to do that tonight. Remember the words of that little chorus. You can't get to heaven without salvation. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what position you've held. It doesn't matter what you do or what you try to do. Here's the reality, men and women. You'll never be in heaven. You can't get to heaven without God's salvation. And here, men and women, is the summary of God's plan of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave, what a gift he gave, his only begotten Son, that whosoever takes you in tonight believeth. Do you see how simple it is? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Here's real security. Security for your soul. You'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. May God bless his word tonight to every heart, for Jesus' sake. We're going to turn